Louise Erdrich is a member of the Turtle Mountain Tribe of Chippewa Indians. Her Pulitzer Prize-winning 2020 book, The Night Watchman, tells of her grandfather's attempts to save that tribe in the 1950s when the U.S. government was trying to wipe them out. Her latest novel, The Sentence, tells of a more recent chapter in American history, 2020, the first year of the pandemic. And it's a story of mysticism and sometimes hilarity. It centers on Tuki, who steals a dead body for a friend who's actually setting her up because that body is packed with drugs. Hey, it could happen. After Tuki leaves prison, we land with her in an Indigenous people's bookstore in Minneapolis. It's owned by an author named Louise. Louise Erdrich owns a bookstore in Minneapolis. But as we're processing that, our Tuki is off on a wild ride, haunted by a ghost. Then there's the ghostly steam from the hospital. Is that the spirit of dying COVID patients? And George Floyd's spirit hovers over all. This is Minneapolis in 2020. Again, the book is The Sentence. It's now out in paperback. We spoke with Louise Erdrich when it first came out in November.
The first line came: while in prison, I received a dictionary. Everything unspools from that sentence. I always knew I wanted to write a book about a haunted bookstore, and this is the only bookstore I really know about. I wrote that sentence down, and I had to get her to the bookstore because I knew she had to be haunted. Mm-hmm. And in prison, one is not allowed to have all sorts of other things that distract human beings, you know, cell phones and Netflix and anything but books, really. You know, there's movies or some TV, but, you know, mainly people do a lot of reading. And so that became her reason for looking for a bookstore job afterward. You know, things... one sentence contains so much if you have to follow everything in it down to its source, right?
Well, and that sentence, as you say, launches the book. Elsewhere in the book, we don't want to give too much away, she has to find the perfect sentence to unlock a mystery. She served a sentence. Yeah.
But also, not to give too much away, but it happens right in the beginning, too. A sentence may have killed someone.
A sentence in a book may have killed someone.
Right. So there's all sorts of things having to do with sentences.
Well, and all sorts of things haunting. She is haunted by that body that she took for a friend. She's haunted by a real-life ghost. This is a frequent customer who's kind of a pain in the neck. She's a white customer named Flora, who in life, if I've got this right, was a Native American wannabe.
Right.
Who doesn't want to have their culture embraced, except there's a difference between embracing and this kind of wannabe-ness? I mean, on page 77, you have a list of questions that Tuki gets in the bookstore. Can you direct me to the nearest ayahuasca ritual? How do I register to be an Indian? How much Indian are you? I want to give my dog an Indian name. Can you tell me one? How do I get an Indian name? A lot of eye rolling.
Right. Well, these were also questions I have been asked throughout my life as a writer, just in book signings. And people are very curious about Indigenous people in the United States or all over the world, I'm sure. But I feel that these are not the questions of people who are enemies. These are people who don't understand. And it's very hard to understand because there's so many, there's a 576 at last count, federally recognized tribes. And we're all so very different. So it's a lot to encompass.
Well, and as you say, not the enemy, but some more blissfully ignorant than others. I mean, in the book, there's a character who cheerfully comes in talking about, you know, she has a cottage on a lake. The land belonged at one time to Native Americans, and she talks about the skeletons that her great aunt dug up and won a blue ribbon at a science fair. And here, maybe you know what to do with them. And this is just an out, you know, it's just a spiritual outrage happening in front of Tuki and a friend. And the friend, the coworker, is saying, like, yeah, but are you going to give back the land? That cuts a little deeper.
It does. And there's a huge issue with human remains that are still held by, you know, small town museums, historical societies, private residences, all sorts of things. And You know, one of the things that is notable about the book is that it's not the white people who are being haunted. It's the Native people who are being haunted by white people.
Mm. Mm.
So these things are very common. And our numbers as Native people in the United States are so small that it's very hard to get a larger conversation going.
And then there's so many storylines here, but then there's the thread of COVID in Minneapolis, the protests after the George Floyd murder. Mm-hmm. This was born of the year.
Well, it was, but as I said, I wanted to write this book about a haunted bookstore, and I started it in 2014. I looked back, and it was quite a while ago. I was writing it. I would always start it on All Souls Day when the fabric between the worlds is at its thinnest. So I would come back to that every year and maybe think of a little more, take more notes. Finally, in 2019, I decided I'm going to start on this All Souls Day and I will not quit. I will write it until All Souls Day 2020.
Hmm.
Well, it took longer than that. I couldn't write during all of the things that happened. I had no focus. My daughter, Palace, took a lot of notes, and she helped me put things into a time frame because I'm not good at that, and I'm not a reporter. I'm not a journalist. So I put things into sequence and allowed my characters to go through the experience of each thing that happened. They're not true to what I experienced. It was the only thing I could think of to do because that's what I am. I'm a fiction writer. So, but things were set up from the beginning because from the beginning I had Tookie being arrested by someone she cares about. That sets up a very complex dynamic by spring 2020.
Right. When everyone in the world, but from your city, is watching George Floyd.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Books are certainly a salvation for Tookie as she's dealing with COVID and suddenly trying to mail books to people or send books or drop off books to people because the bookstore is mm-hmm. closed, and the pain and the passion in the streets from, you know, after the murder of George Floyd, and a ghost. And she talks about books throughout. She's reading Cool for You by Eileen Miles, just thrown into one scene. To a customer who likes the mystery writer Louise Penny, she gushes over Donna Leone. In the back of the book, the totally biased list of Tookie's favorite books. Tookie Can't Live Without You, so those are yours. Tell me what the role books play here.
Actually, I tried to make it so perhaps she has some books that I wouldn't have thought about. But my favorite was her ghost managing book list. So she has to try and manage the ghost during the pandemic. You know, we're trying to have the safest workspace possible for everyone who was in the bookstore. So we had people working alone because we're tiny. That set up a sense for me of being haunted, just being alone with all these books containing so many different consciousnesses. It is haunting in itself. So many things became haunting.
Yeah, because
in 2020 and 21, you know.
Yeah, all the voices in the books, they're all there.
All the voices, yes.
Well, the ghost managing book list includes The Uninvited Guests by Sadie Jones, The Underground Railroad.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. One of my favorites on it is Devin Hsu's The Hatuk Witches. It's a compelling read. I enjoyed the ghost managing book list as I went through it. I read through as much as I could.
The other thing that happens in your books is there's a casual use of Native American language. And there were a couple of moments where I thought, oh, gee, I'd love to ask about that. If you don't mind, there was a quote, and it referred to NDN.
Oh, NDN. That's Billy Ray Belcourt's book, NDN Coping Mechanisms.
Yeah.
And other. I think it's Other Notes from the Field. Oh, I love that book. You know, you say it, Indian. So it's a joke. It's an in-joke for people.
I read somewhere that Indian, could also stand for not dead Native in reference to the Civil War general who said the only good Indian.
Yeah, yeah. It was also Teddy Roosevelt, and it was also Frank Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
So it's not just one person.
It is amazing, Louise Erdrich, that you and your characters do have such a sense of humor.
Well, my characters and I would say most Indigenous people. That's the only generalization I can make. Mm-hmm. That people are funny. You know, my daughter and I went to Dune the other day, mm-hmm. and the Fremen have been compared to and are the Indigenous people of the planet. So we were waiting for some really good jokes, but they didn't come. So I'm hoping in the next Dune, I'm putting it out there, would you please make the Fremen crack a few jokes?
Pulitzer and National Book Award winner Louise Erdrich, her new novel is The Sentence. You'll just chew on it. Louise, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Robin. It's just been a pleasure to talk to you.